through Church 101, learning about our mission and our vision here at New Song. I encourage you to do that. And then the second week of the month is Essentials 201. Third is Discovery 301, where you take some really cool tests, learn about your gifts and how God's made you. And then 401, you get to learn how to be a part of the dream team here at New Song. So if you haven't gone through Growth Track yet, go through. Start next week. Be a real blessing to you. Well, today it's my honor, my privilege to introduce a dear friend, a friend that I feel like God just brought to our church at the right season. He's been such a wise and loving friend who's walked with Tracy and I through some tough times. He's been a strong part of the heart of this church and ministered to us on at least an annual basis, sometimes a couple of times a year, and every time it's a great blessing. We love Doug and Joyce Easterday, and we're really happy, like I said, to be able to support them. Would you give Doug and Joyce a good welcome to New Song this morning as they come and minister?
Thank you. Thank you. Well, good morning. First of all, I bring you greetings from my son, Daniel, as he faces his ongoing challenges, just broke a bone in his leg. It's now healed, but he's doing well. He's going with me to Korea in March, Lord willing. Finances provided, he'll go with me, so he sends his greetings. And I also, Joyce and I, want to thank you for your wonderful, loving kindness and support. We have been privileged to travel on the world and share the good news of who Jesus is. 42 nations and 49 states so far. And we're seeing the world impacted in a great, great way. I'm amazed at God. Anybody else? You know, I didn't talk to anybody about what I was going to share today. And the songs that the worship team chose and some of Pastor Jeff's prayer and comments. If I could have orchestrated it, it's what I would have done. But God did. And today I'm going to share something with you that will require a response. I think sometimes it's dangerous to listen to something and then just walk out and say that was good and not respond. This is one of those things that I think God wants us to respond. God had a plan for the world, and it was a good plan. He created it. He created the world perfectly. The Garden of Eden, there was absolutely nothing that was negative whatsoever at all in the Garden of Eden. People live in those years and those days 900 years. If you live 900 years, better take good care of your body, huh? Nothing was negative. And that was God's plan. Remember how he made the world. It was good. It was perfect. That was his intention, for us to live in that type of atmosphere and world. Dr. Carl Baugh from Fort Worth, Texas, has recreated the Garden of Eden in miniature form, a little bit bigger than this building, probably twice as big as this building. And amazing things. Now, don't ask me to explain how he did it and how he learned. I don't know, because he has three doctor's degrees and he talks about things. I have no idea what he's talking about, let alone understand them. But the atmospheric pressure was a big key, and oxygen supply and the purity of it. Anyway, orange trees had a crop once a month, not once a year. The Garden of Eden was an amazing place. And that was God's plan. Do you hear it? It was a good plan. It was awesome. And then we had a problem. the old snake. I have no problem, by the way, identifying the devil with a snake. I really worry about people that have pets of snakes. And it really bothers me that the snake walked and talked. Anybody, that bother anybody besides me? The sucker came up to Eve and walked up to him, her, it, whatever, and talked. It bothers me that a snake walked and talked. And then sin came in the world. And at that time, the whole world, in essence, became an orphanage. Because it was not God's plan, and so there was substitute plans like what an orphanage is. See, an orphanage is not the plan. Amen? It's a substitute for the real plan. And the world became an orphanage. And since that time, God has been doing things to restore us to that original plan. And he still wants, he still has it on his heart. Now, I'm sorry to say that probably the earth itself will never get back to that beautiful, unblemished condition. Ever watched an athletic event and a player goes to the sideline and they take a mask and breathe? You know what they're breathing, anybody? Oxygen. Do you know why? They need oxygen, that's true. Because oxygen is the quickest way to refresh your energy. But see, they believe it's not pure because we can't handle pure, but it's close to pure. In the Garden of Eden, it was virtually pure. And so the statistics say that there's about 7 times more energy you would have if you breathe pure oxygen all the time. Anybody like to have 7 times more energy? See, I'm just trying to help us understand that God created a good plan. He has a good plan for your life. Amen? I didn't hear you. Amen? God has a good plan for your life. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. And then we had problems. See, in your life, as we jump forward now to your life, God had a plan as you were born. And it was a wonderful plan that you'd be loved and cared for and provided for and blessed and nurtured and just grow up and be wonderful. But that plan did not happen. Amen? There were things that happened even in good homes. I come from a Christian home. My father pastored, my grandfather pastored. I've known nothing else. But I came from a very good home and had hurt at home. Anybody want to say, yeah, I understand? And because we come from Christian homes or even good homes doesn't mean that everything is what God intended. And you had things happen in your life that was not God's plan. Amen? So what do? And as we have been virtually in our world, trying to navigate our way through the difficulties, the hurts, the pains that this world has to offer, we need to understand that God's plan has been and always will be good. Do you believe it? Always has been and will be good. But he did not want you to go through those things. And because he's such a good God and such a good father, he says, well, I've got to find some way that I can bring them back to my plan, that they can have peace and joy and life abundantly. And in John chapter 14 and verse 18, the scripture says, I will not leave you as orphans. Now, this word orphan in the Greek in that particular passage is not really an actual term. It's more a condition of our being. Now, an actual orphan is someone that does not have parents because either they die or leave them for some reason. But you can be an orphan in your heart and have lived with both of your parents your whole life. Do you hear me? Because remember, when you do not have not experienced and walked in all that God has for you, there's some areas you're like an orphan. Because God had a plan. He didn't plan pain. He didn't plan difficulty. He didn't plan the things that we've experienced that are less than good. And so in some areas, some of you might be divorce orphans. Some of you might be alcoholic orphans. Some of you might be time orphans. Some of you might be attention orphans or encouragement orphans. Are you following me? You understand what I mean by this? That God had a plan and you didn't experience. And I'm going to put some things on the screen that if you did not receive these, then you are an orphan. I'm going to call this an orphan spirit. And today I have bad news and I have good news. I'm going to share the bad news first. But as I share the bad news, I want you to remember good news is coming. Hello. Good news is coming. See, there was bad news in the garden when the snake came up and tricked Eve. That was bad news. But good news came later. His name is Jesus. Amen? So I'm going to share some bad news, but I want you to remember they're going to be followed by some really good news. See, if you have not receive the plan of God, that which God intended for you to walk in, then you have an orphan spirit. And let's talk about what that is. If you have not been loved unconditionally. Did love go up and down depending upon how well you did in school? Did love increase when you were just sweet and nice and no problem? I heard about a kid that did that once. It certainly wasn't me. Did love seem to fluctuate depending upon how things were going? Anybody understand what I mean? If you were not loved unconditionally, then you have an orphan spirit, because unconditional love is the plan of God. Amen? If you were not nurturing actually comes from a gardening term originally. It's how we care for a plant, make sure it has water and good soil and the weeds are removed. You're just cared for. Nurturing, we think more of a mother, of a nurturer. Well, obviously you had clothes and food and probably a place to lay your head. But nurturing is also an emotional support system. What happened when you were teased at school? What happened when you came home and says, they laughed at me today? Oh, it's no big deal. Go play. But they didn't. My clothes aren't as nice as theirs. Anybody understand what I mean? See, the response was, there someone that says, well, I think you're wonderful. I'll play with you. And if you didn't know that nurturing, then you'd have an orphan spirit. This is so true for those of us that come from Christian homes. How were you taught biblical truth? How did you learn about Scripture? How did you learn about obeying the Lord? Was he portrayed as a loving and kind and a gentle, welcoming God? Or was it, now the Bible says you don't do that. The Bible says you can't do that. The Bible says you shouldn't do that. The Bible says, and we learn to be frightened. Are you with me? My wife was raised in a good home, Christian home. Her mom was a wonderful lady. But she actually told her kids when they did something wrong, God does not love you when you do that. And I don't think that's all that uncommon. See, how were you taught about walking with God? Did going to church, was it a fun thing that you'd look forward to, or is it, you know, I had to sit quiet and sit still and do all these stupid things that these people make me do? I can relate to that. How were you taught about the Bible? Were you free to be me? What if you had a different taste in music? Anybody relate to that? What if you had a different taste in clothes? Anybody relate to that? What if you had a different taste in your career choices? Are you understanding what I'm saying? See, we often are trying to be made like someone else wants us to be. Why can't you be more like your sister? Why can't you be more like Johnny down the street? And we're never at the poor choice of words. We're often not really encouraged to be that precious, unique, no one else like you in the world person. Were you free to be who God made you to be? If not, then you have an orphan spirit. Were you free to make mistakes, yet still loved unconditionally? What happened when you spilled your milk? I'm serious. What happened? What happened when you got your clothes dirty? Especially right after mom did the laundry. What happened when you lost something? See, often love really diminishes. Sometimes we're told, go to your room until you can behave. Well, if you really obeyed that, you'd still be in your room 42 years later. But see, we have learned that love is fluctuating, and when I blow it, how many of you ever blown it? If you're not raising your hand, we're going to have a class for you at 11:30 called Honesty. Because we've all blown it, amen? And when love begins to lower, then we believe that love is based upon my performance. And that is what an orphan is like. Here's a big one. Here's a really big one. It's extra super big. What happened when you had a financial need? How much does that cost? Do you really need that? Do you know money doesn't grow on trees? See, so many of us really believe that God is a God that really wants us to learn to get by with as little as we can survive on. Show me that in the Bible. Now, I'm not teaching prosperity. I don't happen to believe, I think the faith message is out of balance. But I am teaching about a loving God that says he wants to bless you abundantly. When my oldest grandson was turning 2, and his brother was on the way, and so he was moving to the big boy bed. And his daughter, our daughter, his mother, asked if we would buy for his birthday the sheets and bedspread and everything for the big boy bed that was, you know, for him. And so we said we'd be happy to. So my daughter and my wife and my grandson, they went shopping. And they found a kit that in this kit was everything. You know, it had a bedspread and the shams and the pillowcases and everything, and it was the right color, and it was pictures of that a boy would like. And so they put it in the cart, and they were moving. But my grandson was not impressed. How could you play with pillowcases? And so they went around the corner. He was in the shopping cart and went around the corner. And on the shelf there, there was a Spider-Man blanket. And he loved at that time, Spider-Man. And he saw it and he says, Spider-Man, want that one? And Joy says, no, honey, this is what mommy wants us to get. This has everything in it, and this is what we're going to get. And my grandson went, Papa get it for me. I'm Papa. Listen to me. He knew where to go. Did you know where to go? Did you know where to go? Did you have someone that you knew delighted to provide for you? Or did you feel like a financial drain? What happened to the clothes I bought you 2 years ago? What'd you do with them? So I got home from the trip. I was on a trip when this happened, and I got home, and the day after I got home, guess what my grandson and I did? We went shopping, and we bought a Spider-Man blanket and some toys that he could play with it too. I delight to bless my kids. Do you believe that God is that way? Or does he really, really want you to be grateful with nothing? How is your experience with finances as regard to being provided for? See, some of you, now that you're adults and have to provide yourself, you believe it's all up to you. Ooh, that's a lot of pressure. Oh, that's a lot of pressure. How many of you understand what I mean? Oh, that's a lot of pressure. But see, when we understand that we have a loving God that delights, he says he wants to give you exceedingly, abundantly more than you could ask or think. That's a whole bunch. And if you have not been provided for with someone that delights, then you have an orphan spirit. Does someone want to spend time with you just because they liked you? Just because they loved you? Just because you were fun to be with? Cornell University did a study of 10,000 families in the world from 10 different cultures and every economic bracket, meaning wealthy to virtually nothing. These were 10,000 good families. They were not all Christian. Most were, but not all. And these families were good, and they wanted to know what was the key. Was there a common denominator? Was there something that was true about each one of these families that made it like, okay, we can see that this is an ingredient that was common, that was successful. And there were six common denominators. I don't have time to give you all six. I'm going to give you one. Here's one. They wasted time together. Wasted time together. Didn't accomplish anything. They were just together. I played a silly game with my kids when they were little. I made up the rules as I went along. Anybody ever do that with your kids? Had this green machine game. It was stupid. But my kids loved them, not because of the game. It was who was playing with them. Are you with me? And I want you to know that this is the fastest tickle bug on the face of the earth. And there's no child that can escape its tickle. And I do this, and they say, no, no, as they raise their arm to give me access to their most ticklish place. Are you with me? What'd they learn? What did they learn? They didn't learn about math or science or history. They learned something more important. My daddy loved me and just loves to be with me. If you did not receive that, you're living in an orphanage. Did you feel like you had to perform to be loved? What happened when you were average? Do you know how many people are average? This is a very interesting statistic. How many people are average in the world? 80%. It's just it's an overwhelming statistic. 80% people are average. 10% are good and 10% are, yeah. Are you following me? That means most of us are just what? They're what? What happened when you weren't the hero? What happened when you're just, yeah. Which is most of the time for most of us. Were you loved? Were you shown affection? Now, I know that we can discuss this for hours, but I want to say this. We can look at it psychologically, and I've studied it and about touch and et cetera, and I'm not going to get into that. But I think heaven is going to be very hugging. Hello. If you don't like hugs, don't go to heaven. Are you with me? See, I am so convinced of people that say, well, I'm just not into the huggy stuff. But I'm not into touch. It's because you didn't get it. And you're trying to convince yourself, I can get along without it. But God made you with a need. And you can try to deny it. And you can try to convince yourself, I would hug every one of you if you'd let me. I would. It's amazing to me because of who I am and what I do is I walk past people and start to touch them, they freeze. And I feel sorry for them, so I don't touch them, but they need it. I think God made us that way. But we have lived in a world that we got to convince ourselves, I could get along without it. That's an orphan. Were you able to hear things like, I love you. I'm proud of you. Good job. Way to go. My precious son is not a naturally gifted athlete. I had quite a bit of success athletically as a younger boy. Played basketball, was what I excelled at, and won state championship, won scoring titles. I did okay. People paid lots of money to come watch me play. And he wanted to be like me, and he tried his best, but he just wasn't that good. But he had another sport that he said, well, he got a letter, and he thought, well, if I'm this happy about one letter, what if I get two letters? And so the other sport was available was track. And if you're a big kid, not very fast, what do you do in track? Throw the shot put. And so we came to the last big meet of the year. There were 14 guys throwing the shot put, and he finished last. Dead last. And Joyce and I were over the shot put pit. Say that three times real loud, quick. Chop, put, pit. We weren't supposed to be there. We didn't know that, and we didn't care. We were there encouraging him, and he did his, you know, he did his three turns. And we're walking back to the car. I have my arm around him. I wasn't sure what to say. And he says, you know, Dad, I did good. That's the furthest I've ever thrown it. That's because he knew he was loved. Are you with me? See, an orphan has to prove it. An orphan has to go after something to get it somewhere. But to see, if you're not an orphan, you know, even if you finish last, oh, my daddy loves me. I want to encourage you as parents. I want to encourage my computer to work. Thank you. Three things you need to tell your children. I would recommend every day, if not every day, at least once a week. Three things. I love you with all my heart. It's not partial. It's complete. Secondly, no matter what, even if I have to bail you out of jail, my love will not stop. And finally, forever and always. Three statements. My friends, this is unconditional love. And that's what kids desperately need to hear. And if you're not a parent, when you become a parent, write this down and make a commitment. I'm going to tell my kids this. Even if your kids are older, even if your kids are married, tell them anyway. My grandkids can quote this to me. I say, hey, buddy, Papa loves you. I know Papa loves me. Your whole heart, no matter, forever. I don't care if they can quote it. I don't care because someday they're going to remember the deep meaning. Are you with me? This was God's plan. Now, we've painted the bad news. Now we're going to get to the good news. What does every orphan want? Have you been to an orphanage? An actual orphanage? Anybody? What happens when a couple comes and starts talking to the staff? All the kids are looking. Maybe today it's me? What does every orphan long for? And that is to be adopted. Because listen to me. Are you listening? Tell me you're listening. When you are adopted, you are no longer an orphan. When you are adopted, you are no longer an orphan. And the Word of God says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 15, you do not receive a spirit of fear, but you received a spirit of adoption. It's a spirit. A spirit of adoption removes an orphan spirit. And when you have come and you can accept the reality of what God has done for you, an orphan spirit can no longer stay. Now, a man and a woman might have a baby and not intend to. Some of you have had surprises, but you never adopt accidentally. You never go, oops, I just adopted. It's an intentional, it's a planned, it's a thought out, and I'm sorry to say, an expensive process. And God has adopted you. In the United States of America, you can disown a naturally born child, but you cannot disown an adopted child. And God says, I want you to know, I want you. And he adopts his own kids. Now, if you've accepted Jesus into your heart, that spirit of adoption is there. But he's such a gentleman, he'll not force his way in. He waits to be invited. And how, he gives us a little key here, how that spirit of adoption becomes real, because it has a cry, and that cry is Abba. Now, the original language does not have Abba Father, it's just Abba. The English translators put Abba Father in there, in my opinion, because they weren't ready to get this intimate with God. The word Abba is not Greek. It's not Hebrew. It's Aramaic. And every once in a while, the scripture borrows a word from a different language because it captures a concept that's more complete. And this is one of those times. Anybody speak German? Well, in German, I lived in Germany for a couple of years. I kind of spoke it. But in German, they have what they call High German and Low German. Have you heard this? High German. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Pastor Easterday. Let us pray. High German. Are you with me? Low German is, yo, guys, hey, I'm Doug. Hey, let's have a party. Woo! Okay? Are you following me? High and low. Official. And just, you know, hanging out. And Aramaic's the same way. But Aramaic has a third level. It's called intimate. I wouldn't use it with you. I'd only use it with her. And my family. And my very close friends. Are you hearing me? And God says that he put his spirit within you. Within whom? Within whom? And that spirit within you has a cry. And that cry is Abba. Now, I'm going to translate that to English. But remember, we don't get it in English because we don't have this level. It's a deeper level, but if you get to English, I'd be happy with that. The best word to translate for us in English, the word Abba, would be daddy. And so many people have said, how dare you? How can you call a holy God daddy? And my response is, because he invited me to. It's his idea, not mine. And not only did he invite me to, he put his spirit within me to help me. And that spirit within me has a cry. And if you are not comfortable being that intimate and that close with God, that you would dare be able to say to God, he's my daddy, then you are quenching the spirit of God within you. I don't want to be harsh, but I want to be clear how important this is. What makes an orphan spirit disappear is when we can come to an intimacy with our God that we would dare call the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the ruler of this universe. We would dare invite him in to a relationship of intimacy that we would dare to say to him, morning, Daddy. What you got planned for today? Morning, Daddy. I feel kind of lonely today. I hope I can say this appropriately. Please, I'm not saying it for your pity. I'm just giving you a journey I'm on. Three years ago, Joyce has been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. It's the hardest thing I've ever gone through. This time she doesn't know me. A lot of mornings I say, Abba, I need you today. I don't want to be an orphan and try to handle this on my own strength. I hate it. I admit it to you. I hate it. But I made a commitment, for better or worse. Now, when you're young and 20 whatever years old and you make that commitment, you don't think about this. Let me tell you. But we will walk through this. He's my Abba. Today, in my current situation, and then finally, in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 51, the Word of God says, at that moment. Can we say that together? At that moment. What moment? The moment they were speaking about was the moment that Jesus died. That was the moment. And the Scripture says, at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and all the Gospels specifically say from top to bottom. Why does it say from top to bottom? Because it was heaven to earth, not earth to heaven. It was God to man, not man to God. God did this. God initiated this. It's symbolic. Now, this curtain guarded the most significant place in all of Jewish history. It's called the Holy of Holies, or the Ark of the Covenant. And one guy, the high priest, he could go in there once a year, after lots of preparation of shedding the blood of animals. And he could go in there, and they tied bells in the bottom of his garment, and they could hear them ringing. But they tied a rope around his ankle in case he stopped ringing, they could drag him out in case he dropped dead. That's what this curtain was. This curtain was probably 4 meters high, 12 feet, 15 feet, somewhere in that area, and probably 12 to 18 inches thick. We couldn't tear it. All of us together would have a hard time lifting it. Are you with me? Now watch this, please. The Word of God says, at that moment, God ripped the curtain for you. He tore the curtain so that you could come into his presence and you'd no longer be an orphan. The first moment in history that it was possible. He didn't wait for the next day, the next hour, the next minute. The first minute that this was possible, he ripped the curtain so that you could come into his presence. Anybody glad you get to come in? Anybody glad you get to play more often than once a year? Now he invites you into his presence. He says, come on in. I've been waiting for you for centuries. Now you can come in with your pajamas. Amen? You can even come in with a rotten attitude. Anybody else come in with a rotten attitude besides me once in a while? Because, see, he's your father. And he no longer wants you to be an orphan. And the Word of God says, I will not leave you as orphans. I'll not leave you in your need. Listen to it. I will come to you. He's pursuing you. Anybody glad about that? He's coming after you. Are you glad about that? We've been told we should seek God. Absolutely. But a relationship has to be two ways, or it's not a relationship. And God says, I know your need, but I have what you need, so I'm going to come to you. I'm going to adopt you. And I have all that you need. Can we stand together, please? Now, I want to challenge us to respond in some way to this. I don't want to tell you how to do it. But I urge you not to just listen and walk out and say, oh, the old guy was not bad, or whatever. I want to challenge you in the name of the Lord Jesus. You respond. You want to come forward to the altar? I want that you would be able to take a step to that Abba Father. And if you've been an orphan, if you feel like there's areas that you just didn't have met, let that loving God accept you into his arms of love, and that you will know today that you are no longer an orphan because you've been adopted. Pastor Jeff, turn it back to you.